Around the clock, around the world, Bloomberg keeps you connected on television, online, on the radio, and on mobile.
This month in Bloomberg Markets Magazine, Why Bill Gross Likes Stocks. I'm Ron Henkoff, editor of Bloomberg Markets. The cover story of our August issue shows why the world's best-known bond investor, PIMCO's Bill Gross, is moving his giant fund management company into equities. Also in the August issue, we have a story called Wachovia's Drug Habit, a special report on the role U.S. banks have played in financing Mexico's deadly narcotics trade. And we look at how Goldman Sachs' board of directors has remained silent and inactive even as the company has come under attack from regulators. We also profile Christine Lagarde, the very active French finance minister. She's been in the thick of the discussions to defuse Europe's debt crisis. Now let's turn to our cover story, Why Bill Gross Likes Stocks. Joining me on the line are the co-authors of the story from Los Angeles, Bloomberg Markets senior writer Seth Lubov, and from Boston, Bloomberg News reporter Sri Vidya Bhaktavatsalam. Bill Gross is a man whose name has been synonymous with bond markets for almost four decades. He's a co-founder of Pacific Investment Management Company, the firm everyone knows as PIMCO. The bond fund he manages is the largest mutual fund of any kind in the world. Seth, starting with you, so what is Bill Gross up to? Why is he investing in equities and why is he doing it now?
I know it's a little unusual. It's a little like when Michael Jordan decided that he could be a baseball player. This and other changes at the firm are grounded in the firm's somewhat gloomy economic outlook, which sees a world of diminishing returns and shrinking yields. So stocks with the premise, at least, of higher risk, higher return offer one investment alternative, as does everything from junk bonds to real estate. Also, PIMCO has largely catered to the institutional investor market of pension funds, endowments, and other large investors. So stock funds, as well as exchange-traded funds and other recent new products, are a way to attract more individual investors who pay higher fees on PIMCO's funds than institutions.
Thanks, Seth. Now, Sri, Bill Gross's colleague, Mohammed El-Aryan, who's the chief executive officer of PIMCO, has a term for describing the state of the world's economy, especially in the U.S. and other developed countries. He calls it the new normal. What is the new normal, and how does it affect PIMCO's investment strategy?
The new normal strategy was really shaped during 2008 during a secular forum that PIMCO does every year. They invite important thought leaders from all over the world, and they have their professional portfolio managers and other executives. They gather in their Newport Beach office in California, and they talk about global trends. And one of the things that Mohammed El-Aryan and his colleagues observed in early 2008 was that as the subprime mortgage market was beginning to crack, and they outlined the scenario where they forecast heightened government regulation. They also foresaw higher unemployment and a shrinking role for the U.S. in the global economy. And these factors, they came to the conclusion that these factors would eventually end up reducing returns for investors in not only in bonds, but stocks and all kinds of other assets. And this scenario is what they called the new normal. And it does affect this forum. Really, what it does is it guides PIMCO's 3 to 5 year investment process and strategy. So this forum really came up with the new normal concept that provided the underpinning for PIMCO for the next 3 to 5 years, and they have guided their investments in the same way. They have shied away from U.S. stocks, and even in their new funds, they're looking at global strategies rather than just U.S. stocks. And in their bond funds, they avoided risky assets through most of the downturn and missed the worst of the carnage.
So what the new normal means in one aspect is that for investors looking at where the growth in the world is going to come from, it's going to come more from emerging markets, in El Arian's view and Gross's view, really, and particularly the BRICS countries, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, and that's where PIMCO's putting a lot of its investment. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Now, Seth, this isn't the first time PIMCO has ventured into equities, is it? And what happened the last time the fund set up stock funds?
No, it's not the first time. Two things happened. The first is PIMCO made the mistake of essentially renting out their name to existing stock funds that their parent company acquired, which meant that while Bill Gross didn't have any control over the day-to-day management of the funds, his carefully cultivated brand name was dragged through the mud when the funds got caught up in the mutual funds market timing scandal of 2004. Eventually, the funds were just disbanded by PIMCO's parent company, Allianz, the big German insurance conglomerate. The second thing that happened was a cultural clash between what Gross characterizes as the feel-good optimism of equity investors and the kind of inbred pessimism of a bond shop. So this what happened was bond guys kind of talked over or rolled over the equity guys, and eventually the equity guys drifted away and found employment elsewhere.
It seems in finance that people who do one thing in a particular way never quite see it the world the same way as another group, and I think that's particularly true with equities and bonds. Now, Sri, what do Gross and El Arian say they're going to do this time to avoid the mistakes of the past?
In an interview, Bill Gross said that he confessed to many of these previous missteps, if you will, in the equity space. And he said that he has grown up and, as PIMCO has evolved and matured, he said he has evolved and matured as well, and he has come to a different realization of equities, the place that equities have in the capital markets and their importance in the capital markets and their importance in helping PIMCO grow and change and become more of a diversified company. So one key change, Bill Gross says, is within himself and his recognition that equities are very, very important part of PIMCO to succeed. The other thing is that they're building a team from ground up, and they're picking people with a philosophy that's very similar to theirs, and so they don't want to dilute the brand that they have by bringing in a large organization into its fold. They're not making big acquisitions. They want to do it one step at a time and build it slowly and deliberately so that there is no chance that there's going to be a cultural there's no chance that there'll be some sort of a cultural clash at PIMCO.
Well, we've talked a lot about how PIMCO is moving into equities and how equities people have a different mindset. And in fact, Bill Gross has said that this great bond rally that's taken place over the past three decades is due to run its course. But I think we'd be remiss if we didn't let people know that even though we've talked a lot about stocks, that PIMCO is still very much a bond house and in fact, has been increasing its bets, certainly on U.S. Treasury securities. Seth, what can you tell us about that, and why is that happening now?
Yes, that is the case. This is, at the moment, a flight to quality. Despite earlier concerns that the Fed might raise rates, PIMCO sees a greater risk at the moment in the debt of European countries. So PIMCO and other bond shops see U.S. Treasuries as a safe harbor for the time being. If anything, PIMCO believes that inflation is likely to remain low, further diminishing the risk that the Fed would raise rates. So that said, bear in mind that Bill Gross and PIMCO are masters at applying derivatives and credit default swaps and the like, so they can always produce incremental returns by taking measured bets on riskier investments such as sovereign and corporate debt, and therefore make up for some of the lower yields that they might be getting.
Well, we've got this great photo of Bill Gross in the magazine where he's actually standing on his head. I can't think of any other time where we've pictured the executive of a prominent company quite that way in Bloomberg Markets. It turns out that Bill Gross is a yoga fanatic and fitness fanatic in general. He is very fit. He's also 66 years old. And for the first time, he's talked publicly about a succession plan, Sri. What did he tell us about that?
Essentially, he said that when fund managers and executives reach their 60s, it's time for them to start thinking about succession. And he said that it was succession that was foremost on his mind and the mind of PIMCO's former CEO, Bill Thompson, when they invited Mohammed Elarian to breakfast in May 2007. At that time, Mohammed Elarian was running the Harvard Endowment, and he was in Boston, and he was back in California for a visit. And over breakfast, Bill Gross and Bill Thompson asked Mohammed if he would join the company as co-CEO. And Bill Gross says, really, it would have been irresponsible of him to not start thinking about succession, given that both of them were in their 60s and they needed to think about PIMCO's continuity down the road. And Bill Thompson eventually retired, and Mohammed Elarian is now the sole CEO, and he shares the role of chief investment officer with Bill Gross. So he said that it was an important part of the process of recognizing that PIMCO needed to pass the baton to the next generation.
Well, before we go, what can you tell us about these two interesting people and the dynamic that they have, Elarian and Gross, and the way they work together and the kind of rules that Bill Gross has for the trading room, particularly about people speaking too loudly or maybe even speaking at all?
They are absolutely the most, I guess, powerful duo in the bond world, and their styles couldn't be more different. And you see, you know, Bill Gross, he says he really prefers his isolation. He likes his private time and working on his trades without distraction. So it's almost like he has enforced a policy of near silence on the trading floor. And there's this reverential, almost worshipful silence on a trading floor.
Itself is pretty unusual.
It is very unusual. It's very unlike other trading floors that I've visited in the past. And Mohammed Elarian is, you know, he's more of a people person. He likes creating camaraderie with coworkers, and, you know, he likes interacting with people at a personal level. And Bill Gross said that you wouldn't find him giving, you know, people high fives on the trading floor. And Mohammed Elarian, you know, he likes having that kind of human contact and talking to people, and he even organized a little party for Bill Gross at 5:45 in the morning, California time, when Bill Gross won the Morningstar Manager of the Decade Award earlier this year. So, and in other aspects, they're also very different. Mohammed Elarian says that he is a worrier by nature, so he worries about everything. Elarian is the man who famously, after Lehman filed for bankruptcy, told his wife to go to the ATM and take out as much money as she could because he was afraid that there will be a run on every bank. And Bill Gross, on the other hand, is much more of a, you know, he's bolder. He has this gut instinct that he relies on to make market picks. And, you know, and while Elarian deliberates over everything that he does, Bill Gross really kind of acts on this instinct and, you know, amazing kind of market intuition.
Well, listen, thanks, Sri. And I think we'll be watching with interest this dynamic duo as they move into equities. A lot of investors will particularly be watching with interest. And so thank you, Sri, and thank you again, Seth. I'm Ron Henkoff, editor of Bloomberg Markets Magazine. I've been speaking today with Bloomberg Markets senior writer Seth Lubov and Bloomberg News reporters Sri Vidya Bhaktivatsalam, authors of the cover story in the August 2010 issue of Bloomberg Markets, Why Bill Gross Likes Stocks. Also in this month's issue, our special report called Wachovia's Drug Habits. It's an exclusive look at how U.S. banks have helped finance the deadly Mexican narcotics trade. We also look at the silence of Goldman Sachs' board of directors, even as the Wall Street firm has come under increasing fire from regulators and lawmakers. And we profile the not-so-quiet Christine Lagarde, the French finance minister who's in the thick of the negotiations to solve Europe's continent-wide debt crisis. All these stories and more are in the August issue of Bloomberg Markets magazine. You can find Bloomberg Markets at Borders and Barnes & Noble bookstores throughout the U.S. and also at major airports and commuter terminals. You can subscribe to Bloomberg Markets via our website, bloombergmarkets.com. I'm Ron Hentkopf, editor of Bloomberg Markets. Thanks for listening.